everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary as well as those of you joining us online, as we are here today to celebrate 64 years of ministry. And yes, that is something to celebrate. Hello? 64 years of ministry in the Tulsa metro area and way beyond that. When I think about how many thousands of people have had their lives transformed by Jesus Christ and by the ministry of this church, I don't know about you, but my heart just soars. And I hope you experience that and feel that as well. Think about all the children who have come to know Christ because of our ministry and where they might be serving in the world today. Or imagine all the young people who found new life in Christ and direction for their lives and what they might be doing for Him. It regularly happens for me, you know, when I'm out in the community, people will tell me, "Oh, Christ Church saved my life." They'll say, you know, "I was going through a tough time," or "I was recovering from a divorce," or, you know, "I lost my spouse," or "I was struggling in my life." And that ministry, your ministry, the ministry of that church, your church, saved my life. And that's what happens over 64 years of Holy Spirit anointed and Christ-centered and inspired ministry. More people recently have said things like, you know, "My children really enjoy Upward basketball and cheer, or the summer arts camp, or the after-school club. Or, you know, our teenagers are growing in Christ because of small groups, because of disciple camp, and because of day spring camp, because of the things that we do Mission Week and things like the What Would Youth Do project." Some people tell me, you know what, "We love the classic worship experiences. They are so meaningful, they're so moving, and they're also done with such excellence." Others say, you know, "We enjoy the energy and the spirit of the modern service, and we experience God's presence and His power there." A lot of ladies say, you know what, I appreciate the women's Bible studies and the outreach activities and all the ways that I can get connected with other women in the ministry of the church. Guys tell me, you know, the men's fellowship, the retreats, the journey group, those kinds of things help me as a guy to just live my faith better. People have always, you know, said, "We appreciate Christ Church's outreach ministries, the way that we get outside the four walls, Redemption Church, Exodus House, Restore Hope, Day Center for the Homeless." Many people are thankful as well for Celebrate Recovery Ministry, our Hope Through Christ Sunday School classes, monthly breakfast for community, as well as our recent effort, Family Promise, this new ministry that we're just a part of, helping to reach out to families who find themselves facing homelessness. And of course, people tell me, you know, "My Sunday school class, we went through a crisis in our family, and my class was there. They came around us with care and compassion, with prayer, with the things that we needed." And, you know, when people share those kinds of stories, there are just so many ministries, so many changed lives to celebrate over 64 years. And I, again, hope that you join me in feeling just great about that. I also want to talk today, though, about the next 64 years. What is it that we need to be thinking about? What is it that we need to be doing yet this year and then next year and the year after that, so that in just pretty soon we'll be celebrating 75 years and then 100 years and beyond? And here's the thing. I'm grateful that we don't have to have it all figured out. Amen? Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He is the one who said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But what do we need to be thinking about? What do we need to be doing together as we move forward into the future? Well, to Christ followers in His day, the Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter 3:15, our text for the day. He said, "Always be prepared to" what? "Give an answer." Give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. As we look forward to the future, I would say that we need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have within us. A lot of people today have questions about the things of God. A lot of people are even skeptical about God's work in the world. We need to be prepared to share our faith and to answer some vital questions, some basic questions that many people have today. I want to talk about three vital questions today. First of all, number one, why do people need Jesus? Why do people need Jesus? A growing number of people today are convinced that, you know, maybe we don't need Jesus. He's controversial. He causes division. Some of his claims were pretty exclusive. Maybe a world devoid of Jesus would be better. How would you answer that question? Why do people need Jesus? As I think about it, I think about, you know, what he has done in my life, as well as in countless billions of people's lives who have chosen to follow him. The first thing that I would think of, that I would mention, is forgiveness. We all fall short. None of us is perfect. We blow it. We sin against God. We sin against each other. And because of that, we live with a lot of angst and guilt. Anybody experience that? We blow it. It's our spiritual condition. Nobody is immune because no one is perfect. We need forgiveness, and Jesus Christ is unique in all the world, able to provide it. That is the heart of the gospel message. That's been the center of what we remembered as we experienced communion. Ephesians 1:7 says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness of sins because of God's amazing grace, because of Christ's shed blood. I remember once talking to a parent who told me, you know what? I feel such guilt sometimes because when I was younger, I abandoned a child. I gave up a child. And another time, a man was so upset that he hadn't tried to repair a relationship with his brother. He told me, my brother and I, we've been estranged, and I knew that I needed to do something about that, and then I messed around, and I didn't get it done before it was too late, and I just feel terrible about it. We all have our stories, don't we, of blowing it. But Christ has come that we might experience real forgiveness. Secondly, if someone asks, you know, why do people need Jesus? I might say this: people need Jesus for direction. How many of us, how many people in the world can honestly say, you know what? I got it all figured out. Got it all figured out? Don't need anybody else's help. None of us. Hello? We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the wisdom that we'd like. We need help. And who in the world can we turn through to that can come through? Yes, we need a guide. We need a friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. He knows us. He knows the truth, and he can show us the way. John 14:6, he said this. Let's read it together. I am the way and the truth and the life. Do you need direction? Do you need purpose? Do you need an anchor for your life? Think of all the people in days gone by whom God used who sought direction from Christ for their lives. To name a few of them, I think of people like William Wilberforce, John Wesley, George Washington, Harriet Tubman, people like Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Susan B. Anthony, Martin Luther King Jr. Jesus Christ provides direction. You know, every year I hear young people saying, I'm getting ready to graduate high school, getting ready to graduate college. And the question is, what am I going to do with my life? And it's a question that I have to say to them, guess what? That's a question that you'll ask throughout your life at various places along the journey. God, what is it that you want me to be doing right now? Whether you're young or old, Jesus is someone to be talking to. The scripture affirms he knows us. He cares for us. He loves us, and he has sent his Holy Spirit into the world to lead us and guide us. So if you need direction, if you need guidance, seek Jesus. He provides it. Another reason why people need Jesus, I would say this. Simply put, peace. We live in hectic times. the stresses of life come from so many directions. I heard about one person who said, you know, I am so busy, I don't even have time to post a status. I'm busy. Or another said, you know, I'm too busy to be able to tell people how busy I am. Man, that is busy. Life isn't easy today. We wrestle all the time. We wrestle with ourselves. We wrestle with one another. We wrestle with God. We want more than anything else to be at rest, to be at peace, to have a quiet confidence, even in the midst of life's storms. The peace that Christ can give us is like nothing else. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of my highest privileges is to hear people share how Jesus has brought them peace. So I was talking recently with a young man who said, you know, I have received new power from God that's helping me to deal with my addiction. It's Christ who has given me a whole new experience of life and peace. And I celebrate that. I talked with another person who said, you know what? I am facing a surgery and the doctor has said it's going to be complicated. In fact, there is a chance that I may not survive. But here's what I know, she said. I know who holds the future. And I am at peace. I am at rest. What an amazing testimony. And what amazing gifts Christ can give us, to name a few: forgiveness, direction, peace. A second vital question that people are increasingly asking that we need to be able to answer in our day and age is this: why do people need the church? Why do people need Jesus? Why do people need the church? Lots of young people today say, you know what? I like Jesus. I just don't like the church. And wow, we have to be able to hear that. One of the things people say about the church sometimes today is it's too judgmental, or it's not accepting enough, or it's hypocritical. We know in his day, Jesus confronted the Pharisees with some of the same accusations. While he was busy trying to reach outcasts and the marginalized and sinners, the Pharisees had already carte blanche written all of those people off. And Jesus wasn't happy about it. In fact, he said to his disciples, he said, it is not going to be that way among us, among you. So why do people need the church? Why should people continue to connect with what God is doing through the church? That's a good question, a relevant one we should be able to answer. I want to lift up at least three things. First of all, I would say relationships. People need the church because we need to be connected with others in healthy, loving relationships. We need one another. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, guess what? We need one another. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to the neighbor next to you. We need one another. We need one another. And man, that may be a stretch for some of us to say that, but it's true. We need one another. And the church is uniquely equipped for this, because Jesus is the head of the church and is interested in reaching all people, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, male and female, healthy and sick, mended and broken, happy and depressed. Because Jesus is interested in reaching all people, the church is the unique organization in all the world that is capable of bringing us together in all of our diversity under one banner. Listen to how Paul affirmed our common bond in 2 Corinthians 13. He said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Because of the unique thing that God has done in all of our lives through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get along. We can learn to love each other in the midst of our diversity. The world desperately is in more need of that. So who's going to lead the way? Another reason why people need the church: because they can find help and healing. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call righteous, but sinners. The church wasn't established by God to be a hotel for saints, but instead a hospital for sinners. It's to be a safe place where we can come and we can, when we're sick and in need of healing. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, "And in the church, God appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of what? Healing. Those able to help others." All of these gifts for the purpose of providing help to people in need. The church is a place where wounds get bandaged and where broken hearts get healed. It's a place to deal with our hurts and our habits, our hang-ups. People need the church because there's help, there's healing available. Another reason why people need the church, one word, love. Everybody needs to be loved and to share love with others. That capacity to give and to receive love is so basic to our human makeup, but it's not automatic. It has to be cultivated. It has to be nurtured and affirmed. And so in the church, we hear about God's love for us through study, through teaching, preaching. We also hear about the necessity of sharing that love with others, even when it's not easy. Listen to how the Apostle Paul described it in Ephesians 4:2. He said, "Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love." I'm so grateful that God sent people in my life, in the church, who were willing to be patient and bear with me in love. Did you have people like that in your world? I'm telling you what, I'm grateful. I look at their lives now and I realize, man, they were putting up with me, and God used them in a mighty way. When we know in the end, when we finally get it, that we are loved by God, we develop this spiritual capacity to share love with other people, and it makes such a difference. We've talked about why people need Jesus, why people need the church. Another vital question to answer is, why do people need our church? Why our church? There are lots of churches throughout Tulsa today. Why do people need our church? What would you recommend about our church to someone that you know? I believe there's something truly special about Christ Church. We have a unique role to play here in Midtown Tulsa and in the metro-wide area. There's no church, and beyond, there's no church quite like ours. Every church is different. For many people, our church is exactly what they need and what they're looking for. I lift up three reasons why people need our church. First of all, warm fellowship. I hear from so many of our guests how they experience such a warm fellowship here. Acts 2:42 says this of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the what? Fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. At Christ Church, we are devoting ourselves to all of these things, and I am thrilled when I hear many of you say, "The warm fellowship that I experienced here was unique. It was the thing that really spoke to me." Another thing that I would say, why do people need our church? At Christ Church, we're mission-driven. We know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's the Great Commission, and discipleship is our focus. We say all the time, our mission is what? Our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. What's our mission again? Making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we truly believe that a growing disciple of Jesus Christ is the most radical change agent that the world has ever seen. Jesus also said in Matthew 22:37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's the great commandment, and we say that living that commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, that is living the Christ style, loving God. And so we love our neighbors with ministries that help. We are a good Samaritan church. We want to be people who say, you know what? Someone is hurting. Someone is shipwrecked along the side of the road. We want to be people who stop, who try to be helpful, who try to be caring in ways that we can. Just the other day, someone told me, "I lost my spouse, and your grief share ministry saved my life." Which of our ministries do you recommend to others? Grief share, or Widow Widowers, or Celebrate Recovery, or New Directions, or Hurting Parents, or perhaps another? A third reason I'd suggest why people need our church, one word, Jesus. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you." We believe it. We believe in the presence and the power of Christ. It's here to seek and to save, to change, to transform, to make new, to help somebody find a way forward. Whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, Christ can do it. He is real. A lot of people today are asking the question, is God real? Can Christ really make a difference in my life? We're here to say he is real and he can make a difference, and we want to help you to find that truth, that happening in your own life. Three vital questions. Why do people need Christ? Why do people need the church? Why do people need our church? These are great questions, and how we answer them will greatly impact our future. So I think in the days ahead, this is what I'm encouraged by. I know this, God is going to be with us, and he's going to lead us and guide us along the way. So from the demographic information, we know about our immediate community. We know that Bible study and prayer and spiritual growth groups, as well as relationship enrichment and recovery groups, are going to be important. We know that ministry with children and youth will be critical. We know that opportunities to get adults of all circumstances connected in meaningful activities and outreach in the community will be strategic. And of course, vibrant worship experiences that impact people who prefer either traditional or contemporary music and worship expressions in style will give us a multi-generational richness that is unique for our day. We're trying to do both contemporary and traditional classic worship well, because we know that there are people who love both. That is unique. The most important thing, though, as we press forward into the future, is that God is with us, Christ has empowered us, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us. So yes, our church is facing some denominational challenges ahead of us, but I believe that God is going to lead us through them. Are you praying each day at 2:23? And yes, every church is wrestling with how to stay faithful and relevant in this ever-changing, increasingly secular world, but I believe that God is equipping us to do it. Yes, we have some unique days ahead of us, but God is with us, and Christ is leading us. And yes, Jesus wants you to be prepared to share the answer to these vital questions. Why Christ? Why the church? Why this church? So let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving Lord, we come today and we celebrate in our hearts for all that you have accomplished in the lives of people over these 64 years of ministry. It just boggles the mind to think about the thousands of lives that have been impacted. And we're grateful for all those through the years who have served, who have sacrificed, who have given of their time, their talent, their treasure, so that children, youth, and adults of all ages, backgrounds, and circumstances could experience the life-changing love and grace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all the pastors and all the staff persons that you have raised up, all the volunteers that you have called into ministry, both here and beyond. The harvest truly has been grateful, Lord, and we count it a privilege to be part of it. Lord, as we look forward to the future, we stand confident in your presence with us, in your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. Continue to give us bold faith and to stir our hearts in new and innovative ways to reach the people of this generation. Lord, help us to wrestle with and to form our own answers to these vital questions. Why Jesus Christ? Why the church? Why our church? Send us out in bold faith and commitment as we seek to reach out to our city, our state, our nation, and our world. It's in Jesus' name we prayed, and everyone said, amen.